Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our first guest today, Washington-based political reporter Derek Wallbank. Hello, Derek. How are you?
Hey, Jack. I'm great. How are you?
Well, just another boring week in Washington, D.C., right?
Oh, my word. It seems like everything's going on as Congress is preparing to exit for the year. The House is going to switch party control after this. The Senate, Democrats are going from 57 to 53 seats. So they're trying to really get in as much as they can before the end.
It looks like President Barack Obama is getting it from both sides of the political spectrum, and he's probably going to be hearing some criticism regardless of what happens in terms of the balance of power there in January.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he is sketching out this position in the left center right now, it seems like, where he's more than happy to take flack from some of the Democratic leaders in Congress who, I should note, are far less popular nationally than he is.
Right.
And then picking a fight at the same time with the very right side of the right base. So that means that the president is taking it from Nancy Pelosi and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann all at the same time. Well, the White House thinks that's a fight that they'd love to have and that they think they can win. And the White House, it should also be pointed out, has been thinking for some time now that if they would just get the unemployment rate to about 8% or so, they'd be in great shape.
Was this a fight that Obama could have won if he wanted to win regarding the Bush tax rates for the top 2%?
Yeah, and I think he still can win it.
How? How does he do that?
Well, because Democrats say that they don't want to do something doesn't mean that the votes aren't there to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that a bunch of people groused that they would never vote for health care without a public option. Well, health care came up without a public option. Guess how they voted? We'll see how committed they are to it. Right now, Vermont senator has been speaking on the floor of the Senate for 8 hours against this and launched the first true filibuster since 1992. So there's some passion on this. But I think the president right now can count a majority of people in the House who actually back him, with most Republicans and about half of the Democrats, a little bit less than half. Harry, the question is it going to come up for a vote? And if it does, I think he'll get it.
When you talk about trying to stake out a position in the left center, it's been described that this country is predominantly a center-right nation. I don't know if that's true or not, but you hear that over and over. But I saw some preliminary figures about Barack Obama and 2012 in the state of Michigan, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little surprised based on the results of the last election. Barack Obama beats every Republican Party candidate, including Mitt Romney, who runs the best, and he trounces Sarah Palin.
Yeah, he does. I mean, look, the phrase that we're a center-right nation is a really nice talking point, and in this last election, it seems like it's a great thing, but I don't know. I mean, it depends what issues are highlighted, and I think it depends a lot more on how the economy is. Look, if somebody's got a job and most of the people in their family and close circle of friends have jobs and they're doing okay, they're going to vote for the people who are still there, who are there right now. If not, they're going to be more open to a challenge. That's how I think it shapes up. One. Two, the president, his obituary has been written way too many times already. It really has. He is still fairly popular. I mean, he's not down in the 20s or 30s. He's in the upper 40s. His approval rating is about even. That's not necessarily a bad position. Ronald Reagan was in a worse position before his 1984 campaign, and we all remember how well that did. You know, I'm not saying that Obama's going to, you know, win 49 states. I'm just saying, you know, guy's not dead yet, and people like to say he's wildly unpopular. Well, when 45 to 50% of the country likes you and thinks you're doing a good job and even more are rooting for you to succeed, you're not dead in the water.
I think there's a danger, Derek, every time we have a national election, to draw sweeping conclusions. And if one party is elected, it does not necessarily mean that the populace, the voting public, is wildly enthusiastic about their plan. Sometimes it's a no vote. And I saw negative ratings given to Democrats and Republicans alike. One of the messages I took from the last election was not that suddenly now everyone who supposedly loved the Democrats in 2008 loves the Republicans in 2010. They didn't like the way things were being done in Washington, and they didn't like the fact that nothing seemed to happen. If Barack Obama can position himself as someone who is making things happen, doesn't he win?
You know, I think John Boehner, the incoming Speaker of the House, said it. He's like, he recognizes the fact that Republicans won landslide victories, huge, huge victories. He can't take that away from them, but he also recognizes the fact that Obama has better ratings than the Republicans in Congress, and by a lot. Not by a little, by a lot. So there is still a lot of divide here, and I think you are right to point out the poll in Michigan. You know, if Republicans are going to go win, Michigan is one of those states that they theoretically ought to have a shot at, especially given the results of the last election in Michigan,
right,
when more people came out to vote Republican than Democrat, as judged by, you know, things like judges and state elections boards. There were more people who identified with the right than the left last time.
Right.
That carries over in 2 years. Michigan goes red. So, but if President Obama himself on the ballot can make that a little bit different, then, you know, then he's in a pretty good position. And I should add, so would be Debbie Stabenow, who's going to be up for election and is herself in a very, very tight contest, as it looks 2 years out.
Mm-hmm. Tight contest against whom?
Well, a poll just came out recently that shows Stabenow leading most of her possible challengers, but fairly narrowly, the top people who are polling against her would be Pete Hoekstra, who just ran for governor, and John Engler, who I don't know has any interest in it at all, but he was surveyed. And Stabenow's below 50%. She's within 5 points of some of her GOP challengers. People like Pete Hoekstra could raise a ton of money very quickly, and I think if a top-tier challenger really gets into the race, she might have a tough race. I mean, remember, since she got that seat, she really hasn't faced too much of a challenge, and I think this time the Republicans might actually be willing to give her a really tough go.
Mm-hmm. Derek Wallbank, our guest, Washington-based political correspondent, and heavy background here in the state of Michigan, former writer for the Lansing State Journal. Derek, what is going to happen after Bernie Sanders sits down?
Well, the vote on this plan is still scheduled for Monday right now. Jack, I think there's going to be a filibuster attempt then as well, which means that they're going to have to pull 60 votes to get this passed, which is a bit of a trick, but the White House thinks that they'll be able to do it. Critically for them, Bill Clinton just came out this afternoon in support of this tax plan.
He's so a pragmatist. That doesn't surprise me. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't really surprise me either, but I think that they're going to have to convert a lot of senators on the Democratic side, mm-hmm, who really don't think they got much in return for this.
About Stabenow and Levin? Do they have to convince them?
You know, they're going to be on the easier side of people to convince,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But the White House is hearing it from all sides here. I mean, Bernie Sanders is a socialist. He's not a Democrat. He's an independent socialist who happens to caucus with the Democrats. And on the other side of the aisle, Jim DeMint is the guy who was running Tea Party challengers against Republicans because they weren't conservative enough.
Right.
Both of those guys don't like this tax plan. And then someone right in the center like Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, who is a dyed-in-the-wool moderate, she didn't like it either. So if he's hearing it from all three sides, you know, yeah, I think he can cobble together a coalition, but it's kind of tough, and it's going to be a bipartisan vote for and a bipartisan vote against. It's the question of who's a little bit more bipartisan, I guess.
I think sometimes if you ask Bernie Sanders and Jim DeMint how many states there were, they wouldn't agree. Is there anything that they would agree on in Washington besides this?
I don't know. Sometimes they disagree over the color of the sky, and you know, it's amazing. Politics does make strange bedfellows, but I'll tell you, Jack, it's somewhat refreshing covering politics to see someone like Bernie Sanders actually launching a filibuster on something he believes in, as opposed to the absolute sham that yesterday was, where there were more than 60 publicly committed votes for repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and they couldn't get 60 people to sign on for the procedural maneuver needed to get a vote on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It was, I wrote a story after that where I said that, you know, only in politics can someone say they support something and vote no with a straight face, and only in the Senate is that considered normal. And it was really one of the most disgraceful days, I think, in the history of that body. But, you know, politics tends to surprise. Thursday was terrible. Today, you know, maybe Bernie Sanders is having his Jimmy Stewart moment, and you know, God bless him. He keeps us on our toes.
Hey, Derek, if you happen to see Congresswoman Candace Miller, would you tell her that it's WikiLeaks and not Winky Links?
I'll say that with a wink and a nod, shall I?
There you go. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon, Derek.
Thanks, Jack.
All right. We'll be right back. Kelly Bernero is going to join us. We're going to talk with Derek Dobies and Linda Lee Tarbor. And we're going to talk from their Democratic and Republican perspectives. And we'll find out whether this is a good or a bad thing. Coming up next on Ebling and You.